Thanks, Travis, for leading us this morning. Well, good morning. You guys have seen my faces when I'm on and when I'm not now. And again, just an introduction. My name is Nathan Hirota, one of the pastors here. And this morning is not going to be a typical Sunday morning. As we have been marching through the life of David the last number of months, but we're going to hit the pause button on that today and just give a farewell message as a pastor this morning here at Summit View. So in a way, I hope that this is a normal Sunday with what I'm going to share, the heart of this church and the normal experience that you go through as you're part of this family. It's my heart to share that. I shared on December 2nd that my family and I would be moving to Loveland, Colorado to co-pastor with Pat Sokol and to be at Beggar's Gate Church down there. And we've been in the midst of transition since then. And it's been pretty amazing, the support and the encouragement that we've received. Last week, in 4 days, there was 80 man hours of help getting our house ready. And then just on Thursday, as we moved in a 3-hour time span, we had 40 man hours of help just to move our entire house in 3 hours. It was amazing. So we're in the midst of that. If you've helped with any of that, thank you. I've been telling people, how are you doing? I'm flying by the seat of my pants. There's just a lot that's been going on emotionally and obviously geographically and spiritually as we're moving down to Beggar's Gate. The church in Loveland was started by folks from Summit View many years ago. People like Bill and Mary Young, Tim and Karen Carr, and others left Summit View in the 90s in Fort Collins to start a church in Loveland. And as I joined Summit View in the early 2000s, it was really obvious to me that there's an act of faith here, that there's a desire to see a movement of churches like the book of Acts. If the book of Acts were to be in action today, New Testament Christianity. And that was something I had never tasted before or seen in all of my life. And so what I want to share this morning with all of you are three big things that God used through you, through this church, to change me. And there are three things that I hope that this church never changes from. So this morning, as I am getting ready to leave, in a sense, I get to say whatever I want because I'm leaving. But I'm not going to share is 9 new doctrines that have never been found before. New Testament Christianity for the 21st century. We're going to look at what God has already done and remind ourselves of that. This chapter, we've been here. My wife's been here for 16 and a half years. I've been here for 15 and a half years. It's been a sweet, sweet chapter. Nearly half of our lives in this church. And one of the very first things I did as I came to Summit View was I babysat. I babysat for the teen families. And I remember this little 4-year-old. He was so small, but so full of energy. And he just could run and run and run. And Jason Richard would just run all over the gym. And that was one of the very first things that I did. And I started to see this life in this community, in this world that was centered on Jesus. And it changed me and it changed my wife. And it's changed our family forever. And I want to recount some of that. It has been a joy these last 4 years to be your pastor. It has been an honor. It has been a privilege for me to pastor these last 4 years. And just to say thank you this morning in a lot of different ways. And I think we can get in a weird world sometimes where we wonder, you know, between God's sovereignty and his power and my action, who's at work? You know, sometimes you can have a friend, and God really spoke through you to me. And you think, really? I was kind of just sharing something with you. Was that God or was that me? Who's at work? And I think that's the great mystery of the gospel, that the Spirit lives inside of those that call on Jesus. And so this morning, as I share about what you, the church, have done, it's what God has done through you. It's strange to think in real time, right now, God is working through you, through your words, through your actions, through your thoughts. God is working through you. And sometimes we can try to dissect that and say, well, what should I do here or there? And it feels like, am I a puppet and a marionette? But God is at work as we walk in his spirit. And that's the mystery of the gospel. Paul said in Colossians 1, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. And so this morning as I share it, I share about what this church has done. It's what God has done through this church and this mysterious relationship as the Spirit enlivens us to follow him. So the first thing I want to share, the big deposit that you, Summit View, and God through you gave to me is that because of the gospel, to love God with everything you have. I grew up starting, when I was about six, starting to go to different churches. They were more formal, a lot more liturgy. I had heard about Jesus dying, but I had never seen and experienced and started to walk out, not just that Jesus died for you, that's a payment for you when you die, a get out of jail free card, but that the point of the gospel is to give God your life and to follow Christ here and now, that he is trustworthy for every aspect of your life. It's not just an intellectual point, it's a lifestyle and an abiding that he's called you into. This was really clear as I started to hear men like John Meyer and Mitch Majeski and others share how the grace of God comes and transforms a life. To start walk in the Spirit and to see your relationships and your finances and your past and all the hard areas, your romantic aspirations and relationships, everything changed because of the cross. 2 Corinthians 5, I remember going through this series that John Meyer was teaching through in 2 Corinthians. The love of Christ controls us because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. The point of the gospel is that you no longer live for yourself, but you live for Christ. And I tasted that and I saw that in this church community. I saw people praying all night. I saw people giving up valuable assets and resources for the kingdom to be advanced. I saw relationships staying together and sticking together through trial, through conflict, because Christ was the fulcrum. Christ was the cornerstone. And it changed me. It absolutely changed me. I read a book quickly soon after coming here by Watchman Nee. It's called The Normal Christian Life. Watchman Nee was a Chinese pastor, Christian. Eventually, he died in work camps in the early 1900s. But he wrote this book called The Normal Christian Life. And in it, he said, the goal of the gospel is to give everything to God. The goal of the gospel is to give everything to God. That the gospel's goal for all of us is to surrender all of our lives to Christ's headship and his rulership, for him to be Lord and to follow him. I saw that lived out in every relationship that I had. So my first desire for you, Summit View, is that you may be a church that continues to do that. That because the gospel is true, because God's grace has come, that you would give God all of your life, that you would give him your past, that you would give him your future, that you would give him your relationships, you would give him your finances, you would give him every part of your being, because he's trustworthy and he's good and he loves you and he has steadfast love. May you not grow cold in your devotion to Jesus, or let his steadfast love become cold to you. May this body always remember that no matter how many things are going against it, you always have the most important thing going for it. That's Jesus. Give yourselves entirely to God. That is the goal of the gospel for you. He's given you all that you need for this life and the road before you, so you can smile at the days to come. The second big deposit that this church body and God through you gave to me is that because we're a family, we are to love one another with God's fatherly love that he gave to us. You know, love is the topic of most songs. It's something that humanity craves. We long for it, every single one of us. But we're so poor and broken at giving it. That's part of our condition. That's how we come into this world. And Jesus introduces a new commandment in John 13. He says that we are to love one another as he has loved us. That's why we have the tagline here, love like Jesus. That's what he's called a church body into, is to love one another as he has loved us. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. This is a sign and a symbol to the world, an apologetic, that God really dwells here in this room, in this people, when there is a love for one another as Christ loved us. And I saw that, and I experienced that as I became a part and belonged to this family. And it was just amazing that people would love me when I'm unlovable, with all of my weird quirks and all my weird faces and all the different things and the tuna fish sandwiches, the silly things and the dark things, the things that I don't want put on a projector. People loved me into that, talked to me, encouraged me, corrected me, spoke into my life, said, you're living in the power of your flesh here. You need to walk in the power of the Spirit. That's what love was. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't on magazines and sparkly. It was real gritty love from people. God using you to change my life. I started to see what love really was, forming a family around Jesus. And as I thought about this command Jesus gives, in my short 4 years of pastoring, I think this is a really challenging command. As I talk with people, as I look at the church at large, as I look about this church or any church, a deep committed love for one another, for other believers, that's not shallow, that's not letting bitterness grow in, that's not just overlooking all the hard things, is really hard. And there's a temptation to just let things slide, to not go there. I don't think that's the love that Jesus is talking about here. I think there's a deeper, richer, fuller, harder love that he's speaking of here, and that's what I've experienced. And my hope for you as you move forward, Summit View Church, is that you walk and continue to walk in that love. To not be afraid of the dark places. To not be afraid to have those hard conversations. And to say, this is my heart's desire for you. I desire your good, but this is really hard. And we need to talk about that. I experienced a love here that wasn't about personalities or affinities or all the same skills or traits or the million different ways we can define ourselves in human ways. It was a love that surrounded around Jesus and his will and his purposes in this world. Do you believe that there is a different way to live? That we don't have to live with the bitterness growing continually. We don't have to live with the unforgiveness towards one another. That there's this deeper love that Jesus called us into. It's hard, but so good. I believe it. I've seen it. And that's the apologetic to the world. When the world starts to see people that when they get stuck, the power of the Spirit speaks into that and brings light and power to do the unthinkable, to forgive, to let go of the anger, to have your life changed by the gospel in community. That is otherworldly, and that stands out to the world. That is altogether different. And may this church not lose that. May you continue to be a loving community that doesn't unite because of the million earthly things that can define us, but because we're God's children. He's our Father, and so we are one in spirit. May you not settle for shallow, unresolved relationships here. Believe that his steadfast love can bring rivers in deserts. And so you can offer your hearts and commitment to each other if you're committed to that kind of love. The last one, there's a lot of others I could share. This is just a picture of the very first small group I was on. And I look at that group, and there are so many different personalities, so many different talents and skills and things that make up those people. But there was just such a fun love we had for one another. There was an enjoyment of being together, of digging into the Word, of being on mission together. And that's my heart's desire, is that that would be normal for all of us, to have communities in our lives, to have relationships that are like that. The last deposit that I'm so thankful for this church is that because we're disciples, we are to make more disciples. If you've been around very long, you know that we're part of the Great Commission Churches movement. There's basically GC and then enter any other letter in our past in this movement of churches. Whether it's GCC or GCAC or GCLI or GCI or GCM or GCLMNOP, all have been used. But those first two letters are what this movement of churches has been all about. That is the Great Commission. That God is at work bringing people to himself. He's on a mission to bring the lost back to him. And that we are to go and we are to share the gospel and we are to teach everything that he's taught us. And that there's two promises, that he's going to be with us and that he has all power and authority to do that. And that mission is what I'm so thankful for. That commission is what I'm so thankful for. From spring break outreaches to summer infusions to outreach class, training in the gospel, to understanding what does it look like to disciple somebody, to help somebody grow in the faith. So many different ways in which this church has blessed me to see the Great Commission as the mission of the church, which it is. And to grow in that and to love that and to have that identity that we are on a rescue mission in this world. It's not us against them. It's us laying down our lives so that they may know the great love of Jesus. And to go make disciples. It's so good just to read it again. Matthew 28, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." It's been my joy to take part individually and to have a small role. Each of us is going to have a small role in seeing the Great Commission fulfilled. But that is our heartbeat, is to see Jesus more famous in this world. More people loving him. That's why we're here as a signpost to heaven, asking God the Father to draw more hearts and to win more hearts for his glory. There's everything to gain for them. And the only thing to lose for us is our sheepishness and our pride. To go, to be bold, to be fearless. It doesn't have to be scary. Open air preaching is not for everybody. But love is. And just as you express God's love to this world, you are helping to make disciples. And may this church not lose that. Oh, that you would continue to be active in your desire to see the Great Commission fulfilled. May you continue to eagerly desire to have God actively winning and drawing people's hearts to him. Do not forget that the blessing of Christ was given to you so that you might be a blessing to all nations. And may you believe that he has the power and goodness to help you and to be with you as you make disciples. I could have shared a whole lot more of other things, but I think those are the three big deposits. And if you read through Paul's letters in the New Testament, you soon understand that people, real people, people with names, people with stories, people with pasts and baggage, they were in community with Paul. Most of his letters end with him saying, greet this person and greet that person and make sure that you encourage this person to do that. Paul wasn't this heady theologian that was disconnected from relationship. He knew others well, and others knew him well. And so what I want to do to finish this morning is just to have a little bit of a Romans 16 with people that have blessed me, that have really spoken God's words into my life, modeled them, and if I were to write a letter, they would be at the end of this book. And it's mostly just a lot of thank yous. Some of these names are probably unfamiliar to you, but that's okay. That's all right. First, I want to thank Holly Cranson. I want to thank her for sharing the gospel with my sister and for taking the time to stop and share Jesus' love with my sister, to be bold enough and courageous enough to do that. And through that, to start to see my sister's life transformed altogether through the influence of this church. And because of Holly, I got to experience the first taste of this church's impact. I want to thank Joy Whitney and Adrian Carmichael and Mandy Brown. I want to thank them for loving my wife, for investing in her, for showing her what it looks like to advance the kingdom and to love others for Jesus' sake. I'm really grateful for what they did, and my wife is really grateful as well for them. I want to thank my mom, Cindy Gregory. I want to thank her for the foundation that she laid in my life of wanting to follow God, of working hard, of not giving up, believing that light can always come into darkness, and for doing what so many would have not done. I want to thank my sister, Jessica Cranson. I want to thank her for praying for me and desiring my good and finding a house of crazy guys like Aaron Ritter for me to move into in 2003 as I transferred to CSU. Sister, thank you for your passionate love for Jesus that never ebbs or wanes. And thank you that you don't call me Nafy anymore. I want to thank Aaron Ritter for not taking a 19-year-old goofball too seriously and going with the flow with most of my far-fetched ideas. Thank you, Aaron, for modeling patience, self-control, and a deep love for God's word on a daily basis as we live together. Thank you for being peculiar to me and your devotion to God's will. Thank you for asking me to go to Faith Walkers in 2003. And thank you for believing in me to lead a small group as a 19-year-old. Thank you for exchanging my tuna fish sandwich for a banana peel. Thank you to Brandon Poland. I want to thank Brandon for his faith and trust in God's power, even when his dreams have not come true. I want to thank Brandon for his prayers that he consistently devotes himself to, for his friendship, for the wild adventures of going up mountains and falling down mountains. I want to thank him for calling a spade and being unafraid of conflict. Thank you, Brandon, for your trust in God's goodness and provision when your car was stolen. And thank you for letting me dress up as you on Halloween in your clothes. I want to thank Eddie Smith. I want to thank Eddie for singing triumphantly and loudly and joyfully for all to hear, even when it's in the wrong key, no matter what pitch. Thank you, Eddie, for your laser vision on the grace of God and insisting upon it in all that you do. Thank you for choosing the summer of pure joy with me And thank you for introducing me to Homestar Runner. I thank John Larson for his friendship and the care that you bring. Thank you, John, for walking together all these years in faithfulness and integrity. And thank you for your servant's heart that you display daily. Thank you for choosing to lay down your life to make others great. And thank you for showing me the free coupons for Gibbs Bagels in the CSU coupon books and for writing cheesy songs that shall never be repeated. I want to thank Dave and Monica Marsh. Thank you guys for bringing me into your home before I was married. Thank you, Dave, for showing and modeling a faithful, loving, and spirit-directed father's love for your family, for choosing countercultural rhythms for God's glory. Thank you, Monica, for being so excited about words, for schooling your children well, and for giving me a glimpse of what homeschooling looks like. Thank you, Marshes, for your generosity as I would leave very early and come home very late, and you were always excited to see me. Most of all, thank you for your fish oil vitamins. Thank you to Travis Swan. Travis, I don't know where you're at right now, but I don't know if I'd ever experienced a Mohawk jumping around worship leader like you with your heart. And I love that. Thank you for leading me in worship countless times. Thank you for your heart for Jesus and through music, leading others in that. Thank you for loving talking about the big picture vision. Thank you for your zeal and your emotion. And thank you for enjoying distortion on acoustic guitars. Thanks to Perry Paulding. Perry, haven't known you as long, but I do thank God for you. Thank you for your wisdom and your experience in sharing that with others. Thank you for your desire for marriages and others to flourish in that. And for your love of the depth of Scripture. And thank you for your punishments. That was for you. I want to thank Mitch Majeski. I'm thankful for Mitch for his consistent and deeper view in the gospel and the good news of Jesus that he always brought me into, for his deep care and heart for me and others, and that he gave more than he took. I want to thank him for being the first to give me a hug when I came back from Nepal, and that he chooses to continue to root for Minnesota teams even though he knows that his heart will be broken by them. I want to thank John Meyer. I'm so thankful for him and his conviction and his faith. I'm thankful for his sober-mindedness. I'm really thankful that he walked and talked with me for hours while I cried. I'm thankful that he reads, lives, and preaches the Bible from beginning to end as the truth, and that he loves to shepherd, especially this region of churches. And I'm thankful that he enjoys strawberry milkshakes, which I also enjoy. There's so many others that I could thank, but I really just want to thank you, Summit View Church, for letting God work through you. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for spurring me on. Thank you for seeing a goofball 19-year-old and giving him room to grow, of not coming down too hard on him. Thank you for exalting Jesus in sufferings and trials. Thank you for loving me and others like Jesus. And thank you for displaying the power of the gospel in real life. Thank you for these last 15 years together. We are continuing to be united in mission, to make disciples along the Front Range in Loveland and for Collins and to the ends of the earth. I will still be around from time to time. I won't be far. I am smiling at the days to come, both here and in Loveland. And all I really want to say is thank you. Through you, God has changed my life. I don't know if you realized that when it was happening, but it was. And it's happening with every single one of us every time we get together. God is at work. And with that, we're going to celebrate communion. I think it's fitting that we celebrate communion together. The word communion means oneness, togetherness, participating together at the deepest levels of intimacy. Just look at what God has done, some of you. Out of his goodness and his love, he's brought together his body, his people, his church. You are the church. You are his people, if you know Jesus. The good news is that no matter what you have done, you are loved more than you ever deserved. The full approval and acceptance of the Father is on his children. And we share in that communion, in that intimate fellowship together, because of what Jesus has done. So we celebrate it because we are his church and we are his people. This is a sign and a symbol Jesus gave that shows the intimate fellowship that he brings us into as we call on his name to be saved. You've probably heard this before, but maybe not. Matthew 26, it's called the Last Supper. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is a symbol of Christ's death, his body broken, his blood poured out to make us one. For us to all have Romans 16 relationships that are intimate and that are personal, full of love, an eternal love that is otherworldly. That's why Jesus died, and for us to spread that to other people. So as you take of the bread and the cup, I want you to give thanks. I want you to give thanks for the communion, for the oneness, the intimacy that God has brought you into with him and with others. That we have a communion together, the communion of saints together, because of what Jesus has done for us. We share in this together. I think after that, we're going to sing some songs. So I'd just encourage you, as we take this, we're going to divide the room in half, and this side will exit to that side. This side will exit that way. Come down row by row, take them. And either as a family or personally or with friends, just to thank God for the communion that he's given you, the richness, the sweetness, what he has done for you. And take it on your own as a family in a group, and we'll sing some songs.
Lou, I'd like to ask Nathan and the other pastors to come on up for a brief minute. Come on up here in the light so we can see each other. You're wondering what's in the box.
It's Tupperware, right?
It's not Henry Fordyce. He's not going to pop out right now or anything like that. So. If it weren't for Nathan, I wouldn't be a pastor. I wouldn't be standing here. And if you like me being a pastor, then you can thank Nathan. If you don't, then you can blame Nathan. It's happy and sad. You know, it's raining outside, but the sun is shining, and this is a joyful thing to get to send you out, even though we're going to miss you and not see you as often. We have a small gift for Nathan. It seemed kind of fitting. You know, it's not like he's dying or retiring, so it's not like we want to give him a plaque or something like that. Nathan's a fun guy. He likes sports, so we have a little something fun for you, so you can open it up.
Okay. Whoa-ho-ho!
Two genuine tickets to a Nuggets game.
They just scan these, right?
Yep. Just bring those.
Yep.
And
a basketball,
which is going to be signed by all of us, and Steph Curry as well. So,
all right.
So then you can remember us as you're having fun. We just wanted you to have
Thank
a great time.
Thank you guys so much. Yep. This is awesome.
4 years ago, I believe, we laid hands on Nathan to recognize that the Holy Spirit had appointed him to be a pastor, an overseer. And likewise, we would like to lay hands on you, Nathan, and pray for you to acknowledge that God is commissioning you, and we are sending you often. We see this as part of the advancement of the Great Commission that Jesus gave us. So we'd like to pray for you briefly and send you off, and then we'll start the party upstairs. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
So let's all get hands on him. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for giving us the gift of Nathan to this body. We thank you that you chose him, that you saved him, and that you appointed him to be a pastor here. And we love him. We're going to dearly miss him. And we're so excited that you're the one that you're leading this, that you, we acknowledge that you're the one that has called him to Loveland along with his family. And I just thank you for the many, many changed lives in this room and beyond, just hundreds of lives that you have touched. It's been God working through Nathan Hirota. Thank you for the gifts you've given him. Thank you for the impact he has. And as he goes off, will you just send him with blessing? We pray that in this next season, you would use all of his gifts, that you would fan into flame each one of them, that you would expand the influence that he has, that you would open up new capabilities to build up your body and to advance your kingdom. And we pray that there would be a lasting impact in Loveland that wouldn't stay there, but even his going would be a domino effect of labors that get sent out from Loveland, Colorado to the very ends of the earth. And so it's in your name, Jesus, that we bless him and we send him in the Great Commission. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
You said no pictures. Toupee.
Real quick, if God has impacted your life through Nathan Hirota, I just want you to stand up real quick.
Wanted you to see that.
We have more stories like tuna fish stories, but we're not going to do that here. We're going to do that upstairs. So please follow us up to the fellowship room. It's up the stairs to the left. There'll be pizza and cake and some time to connect with Nathan and his family. So you guys have a blessed week. We'll see you up there.